All right, get situated here. Hopefully. Getting there. Okay. All right, so today we're in Psalm 67, and I just loosely titled this Blessing with a Purpose. About sharing my screen also. Probably would be a good idea. Okay, there we go. Finally situated. Okay. So let me start off by reading Psalm 67. says, to the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, Selah. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. So, looking at the first verse, this is actually a summary quote, I guess you could say, out of Numbers 6, 22 through 26. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And just as a way of marking here, you'll see that it says, may God bless us. Just like in verse 24, it says, the Lord bless us, of number six. The second half of verse 1 mirrors verses 25 and 26 of number 6. It says, make his face shine upon us. It says, verse 25, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. We're going to look a little bit more at that. The next thing that you see there is Selah. As we've talked about before, I think Mr. Todd's also talked about in some of his devotions, Selah basically means pause as a musical term, but it also has the root word for it also means exaltation or contemplation. So it's kind of pausing for exaltation and contemplation about what you just read. And what is it that we just read? Well, there's three things right here. May God be gracious to you. May God, or gracious to us. May God bless us. And may God make his face to shine upon us, just as number six also said. About which I thought this was a phenomenal quote, because when can you go wrong quoting Spurgeon, right? Spurgeon wrote, it begins at the beginning with a cry for mercy. So there's point one out of Psalm 1, Psalm 67, 1. Forgiveness of sin is always the first link of a chain of mercies experienced by us. Mercy is a foundation attribute in our salvation. The best saints and the worst sinners may unite in this petition. Next, the church begs for a blessing. Bless us, as the second point there in verse 1 says. Bless us, a very comprehensive and far-reaching prayer. When we bless God, we do very little, for our blessings are but words. But when God blesses, he enriches us indeed, for his blessings are gift and deeds. But his blessing alone is not all the people crave. And here's where point 3 comes in. They desire a personal consciousness of his favor and pray for a smile from his face. These three petitions include all that we need here or hereafter. This verse may be regarded as a prayer of Israel and spirituality of the Christian church. So, beautiful words, as Spurgeon was known for, to kind of summarize this verse. So, if you had to think about this verse, this would be kind of like the what. This is the foundation for this whole entire psalm, and it's the thrust of it. In the words of my little note or my title for this thing, this would be the blessing. We're going to look a lot more at this, though, going forward. So the next verses, verse 2, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. So you'll notice that the first word that appears in verse 2 is that, which is a connector. That's connecting back to the previous verse. So it's not separated from that. These are new verses that have nothing to do with that. Remember, we said that's the foundation of this whole entire psalm. It says, so that what? So that your way and your saving power may be known on earth and among all nations. So they just contemplated God's graciousness, God's blessing, God's face shining upon them, and they didn't do that for their own, just for their own enjoyment, for their own satisfaction, for their own, comfort of life, any of those things, but for a reason. And that was so that his way, his saving power, would be known among all the nations. Look at the next few verses. You'll definitely see a theme here. Probably heard it when I was reading it as well. Let the peoples praise you, O God. So there's a call to praise. Look at the very next verse. Let all the peoples praise you. Second call to praise. The third, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. A third call to praise. If you jump down to verse 5, we're going to come back to the rest of verse 4, but jump down to verse 5, you have a fourth call. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Then he says in a fifth time, let all the peoples praise you. If you notice also, verses 3 and 5 mirror each other. It's a repeating verbatim of the exact same wording. So if there's any doubt, if there's any confusion, this is still tying into, that at the beginning of verse 2. That peoples would praise you. We want to see your glory across the earth. We want to see your glory manifest far and wide. And we want to see ultimately all the peoples of the earth praise you. So why all this praise? Well, again, you see another connector word here at the second half of verse 4. It says for, similar to that at the beginning of verse 2. For. Why? For you judge the peoples with equity and you guide the nations upon earth. Let's look a little bit at that. For you judge the peoples with equity, the first portion there of verse 4. You'll probably remember in Romans 2, 1 through 6. It's a body of text here, but let's follow through it. I marked some things that kind of highlight what we see here in verse 4 of Psalm 67. Romans 2, 1 through 6 says, therefore you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. And if you jump down to verse 11, it summarizes it in just 5 words. For God shows no partiality. The word equity is basically means fairness. If you think about Lady Justice, she's blindfolded and holding the scales that are balanced. And she's not looking. She's not saying, oh, well, let me use my prejudices to go ahead and say, oh, well, you're of this race or you're of this class or you're of this, wealth or any other thing that would blind her to justice. That's, I think, what people normally call, fairness. But when you're talking about God, he goes far beyond just fairness. He goes to a point of righteousness. That's what Romans 2 talks about. It doesn't say, oh, just God is fair. It says God is righteous in his judgment. Because even the legal system, for all of its, intents and purposes and goals and desires, it doesn't always get it right. But the very word right, God always gets it that. He is righteous. He gets it right. So he goes far beyond that. Jumping a little bit further also in Romans, you also see in Romans 3, 21 to 26, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There is no distinction, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. All about the righteousness of the judge of Psalm 67, verse 4. For you judge the peoples with equity or with righteousness. That's not the only description, though. We see, and you guide the nations upon the earth. And we can also see some of that here in Romans 3, 21 to 26. But now a righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Apart from the law, he guided us. He led people apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Where do you get that belief? You get that from a righteous judge and a righteous guide, as verse 4 calls him in Psalm 67. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The verse that most people, they stop at the comma. Verse 24, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. That's a summary of God and the way that he guides us into salvation. This is all his doing. This is not you and me in our, you know, ingenious ways going, oh, you know, I think this is a great path. I've envisioned this path of God and I'm going to level up here and believe in him, you know, or something. No, none of that. This is all him guiding us to it. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. So basically, you can see that, like, here in the last verse, you'll notice that at the top of that, previously, I had verses 21 to 26, but I only had 25 quoted. You'll notice that these summarize it here, verse 26 of Romans 3. It says, it was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He's judge, a righteous judge, in that he's just. He's also a guide in that he is the justifier, just as Romans 3 says. So we can take that encouragement even from Psalm 67. Far before Romans 3 was ever written, that was still God's role, God's plan, the way that God worked. So verse 1 is the what. Verses 2 through 5 are the why. Got a silly little analogy here. Got this little kid who's got his halo and his wings because he's trying to be a good little boy. And if he's a good little boy, then what happens? He gets a lollipop. So you could call that kind of like cause and effect. You could call that, you know, well, I want something, therefore I'm going to, you know, shoot for it. You know, what? He was good. You know, why? Because he wanted a lollipop. So it's the what that leads to the why. It's the exact same thing here in Psalm 67. We see the what in verse 1. We see the why noted in things like in the beginning of verse 2, that your way. And in verse 4, for you judge. The connectors that say why he wants the what. Something that made this devotion really personal to me was last week. You'll remember we had a big, long discussion about this really pretty storm. That was the way Lauren always called every time we saw the storm. She was like, that is the most well-formed eye. I was like, I didn't know you were such a meteorologist. You love this stuff. But it's like, I know it's going to be horrible and I know it's going to cause destruction, but that is so pretty. Like, look at it. And I'm like, yeah, sure. It's colorful. So anyway, but you'll remember last week, we had a really long discussion before our prayer time about, you know, the storms that were coming. What were we talking about? What do you pray for? Okay, I understand that. But why are you praying for it? That's what this psalm is all about. And what made this so incredibly personal to me is not just the storms. It's that, and this floored me, but last week, right before we started praying, it's like the Lord just put into my mind Psalm 67. And I didn't have it memorized. I didn't even know what it said. But as soon as we finished praying, I pulled out, you know, before Mr. Mark started preaching out of Ephesians, I went to Psalm 67. I looked it up and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what we just had a discussion about right out of scripture. You know, I was like, well, I know what the next devotion is going to be on. So we have the what, we have the why. We have a few last verses. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. You notice that these are kind of a bookend to verse 1. First of all, this appears though the earth has yielded. That's past tense. But we see that that ties into, back in verse 1, may God be gracious. God was gracious. He has allowed the earth to yield its increase. And if you think about, you know, this is a very agrarian society that's writing this stuff. So the earth has yielded its increase probably means a lot about agriculture. They've got a lot of, you know, they had a good crop, good harvest. You know, they had provisions for the coming year. But that's not all it is. That's not all they're talking about. The whole rest of the verses talk about praising the Lord. So there's obviously something much deeper at work than just you grew a bunch of corn or something. Look beyond that, though. The second half of verse 6 and early verse 7, you have future tense appears. God our God shall bless us. God shall bless us in the future. And again, that points back towards verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us. So again, bookending kind of this whole psalm. You notice that it makes an interesting kind of pivot, at least I thought so. Let all the earth fear him. When most of it has been about praise, it's talking about fear. But fear of the Lord is the beginning of praise, the beginning of knowledge, it is the beginning of wisdom. You have none of that without, you're not going to praise him. You have no fear and knowledge of him. So look back at verse 4, though. Who are they to fear? The judge that is righteous? The one who guides them? The one who can definitely cast you into an eternal hell? Is that not someone to fear? Is that not someone to revere? Is that not someone to know? Is that not someone to praise? And ultimately, you know, you get to the end, these last two verses, and you also see that, again, we have a what and a why. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all of the earth, the ends of the earth, fear him. Remember, I didn't actually put this in the slides, but, you know, in Scripture, basically says, how are they going to know if they don't hear? It's like, okay, so if you're like, well, how would we really bring about, like, how are we the why? How are we going to go bring about the fear of the Lord? It's like, well, that's basically part of the, you know, one of the goals of ministry is to, like, bring about, you know, people understanding who God is, what he's done, what he's going to do if you don't revere him. Another way to say what and why, I kind of alluded to it earlier, was cause and effect. Every time you see a what, you see a cause. Every time you see a why, you see the effect. What? God be gracious and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Why? That your way may be known. That your saving power will be among the nations. That people will praise you. Another way of putting that, which was in the title of what I called this, you could replace the what and the cause for blessing and the why and the effect for purpose. May God be gracious to us and bless us with a purpose so that we would go and make his name known, so that we would go and share his saving power, so that the people of the earth would praise him, so that all the nations would praise him. Another biblical example of this in closing is the life of Abraham, or Abram as he's known in Genesis 12. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And you'll notice the light blue I underlined just to match blessing, and the green I underlined just to match purpose. Verse 2 says, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. That should have been green. I will bless those who bless you, and I will, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So there's a biblical example right out of Psalm 67, and it has application to us, you know, thousands of years later, as we all know Scripture does. So I kind of just wrote out just a quick mission statement. I would encourage you to study the Psalm this week and do the same. But this is just a mission statement. I think that, you know, could be for GBF. Perfectly on, I think, in time with what we saw in our discussion last week, but also in the things that we've seen in the provision of the Lord this week with the thorns. So here's what I wrote. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that his way and saving power may be known on earth and among all nations, that they would praise God, the righteous judge, guide, and justifier, Selah. And honestly, that's not even really that profound by me, because all it is right out of scripture. So, but I think that that's like a beautiful testimony to the power of God meeting with us last week about a very serious subject that was on all of our hearts. Two storms sitting out in the Gulf, pretty much unprecedented, bearing down on us. What's going to happen? Well, why are you praying for that? Why are you asking for this specific outcome? If the whys don't motivate our prayers, then what are we really just asking for? Are we going and sitting on God's celestial lap and just telling him all the things we want for our earthly Christmas? You know, like, no, it's significantly more important than that. There are eternal things at stake. And I don't know, I found that just such a beautiful reminder this week as I was, I guess, as you know, the Lord brought Psalm 67 to mind last week in service. And then also as I had an opportunity to study for this devotion. So with that, let's go ahead and pray. Talk about prayer requests. I would encourage you don't have to really go on and on and on about it, but, you know, definitely offer your prayer requests, but also think about why you're asking for them. That's been very much a recurring theme this week with me. You know, earlier today before I left, it was almost like the Lord brought it to mind. I was about to pray for Lauren, who has her presentation in a few hours. And it's like, okay, but why are you asking for this? Do you just want her to have a good reputation? Do you just want her here to not be nervous and just have a big sigh of relief and feel good about it? It's like, well, is this a way for her in front of, you know, more than 100 people to actually, you know, have a testimony? Is this for an opportunity for her to be, you know, a testament to something significantly more, you know, significant than the here and now or speech therapy, like eternal purpose? And so I've even found already that started to guide my prayers, which has been awesome. So really should have been a long time ago, probably more than it has. But I would encourage you that even as you share your requests right now, you know, why is it, like we talked about last week, why is it that we want the Lord to do a specific thing? What are we seeking for? And why are we seeking for it? So with that, any prayer requests? Yeah. Okay. Okay.
The gas station where the man was killed is in the route to the post office where I have to deliver. So they start getting on the stream, the fires, or whatever right there is going to be a direct path. I have to do my job. So it's just hoping that the Lord will give mercy.
A little bit.
James Champagne, who lost his entire apartment. And I think that
these guys get there with him. Only lost one tree. The service, you know, the pastor.
So you lost power, is that what you said? During this storm?
I had it the rest of the day. It was still connected, still hot, ground was there. I was just staying away from it. But I had it. I picked up on it all day long.
Yeah.
And I'm giving the man the sun. He might set the tree up. I was one of the silver in the stone and burn it.
Right.
The quicker the guy came out, right when I was in, he cut it, he climbed it up. I'm
getting
an
electrician.
Gotcha. Connection back on. That's a mess. I lost my phone.
You lost your son?
My phone.
Yeah. Guess that puts it in perspective, right? Lost a phone versus lost a son? No, just kidding. I'm sorry? Yes.
Yesterday, I went on to nursing home. It's so long. It's been nursing home for a long time. Just to bring us some supplies. And normally, when I go, one of the staff would come to the door to take my bed from me. From her office. But nobody was there, so she opened the door. And we've recently got my fingers stuck. It was kind of an emotional moment. You know, when I got home, she said, I hadn't touched anybody for all this time. And I said, it was really hard to get a long way to give you a hug. And she said, I hadn't touched anybody. Not a finger, not anything. It broke my heart, you know, to have people in nursing homes. Pray for them. My heart was so sad. That's easy for me to give my husband or my children, grandchildren a hug. Yeah. It just broke my heart to think that. One thing for me to go and give her supplies that she needs.
Yeah. Wow. I kind of have a maybe unusual request. So my mom just recently retired. And my dad had already been semi-retired, as much as preachers retire, because they always go and pastor a church for a time. But anyway, so I just, she hasn't always been in the best of health. And I have known a lot of people over the years of my career that I've known have retired and then generally go, you know, not generally, but have gone downhill really fast. And then they don't take care of themselves. They have less to go out for and do and be active about. So I'm just really praying that my parents would not only just be active, but again, in that why of what we studied in, you know, the Psalm 67 this morning, but the why, I'd really love for my parents to continue, and maybe even now that they have so much more time, just extend and grow their ministry. You know, it's one of those things, when you're retired, you have, you know, that thing that everybody always wants when they're younger, which is time. You never have time for anything. It's like, now you have all kinds of time. So it's like, you know, not that they would squander it or, you know, just hang out and watch TV or something, which I don't think they're really prone to that, but I'm just, I don't know. I've seen people that have retired and 6 months later they die. You know, I'm just like, wow, that's, I really contemplated this. So I'm really, you know, that's just a kind of unusual prayer, I guess you could say, but, anyway.
Alyssa, her due date is September, and Jason just got word that he's going to be deployed, and it's one of those short notice deals, and it's probably going to be deployed before he ever did. He obviously is, you know, going to do whatever he can to try to maybe delay that a little bit. But I just think of the why as far as the godly offspring. You know, it's going to be like any military family that goes through that, you know, the children are the ones that tend to catch a little bit of that. And pray for just his children, for his son and daughter, and then the expecting, you know, the newborn baby too. Also, so just if you can remember that, if there's a way that it could be delayed, that would be awesome.
All right, anyone else or anyone out in Zoom? I think we can hear you. I hope we can hear you. So,
I'd ask a prayer for ministry as things open up. Again, there's more opportunity to go to cities around the world to preach Christ, so that all nations would know particular the Lord. And so during the coronavirus, we were able to pull back. And so, you know, we're far off of our budget for 2020, but because of the coronavirus, there was no pain there because everything was getting canceled. Things get back up. We recently hit a fundraising mark that we've been praying for 3 years now, and now it's 4-hour living expenses. But that occurred recently, so praise the Lord for that. But we have several projects as well as missions that just traveling monthly to preach Christ with other brothers around the world. So just praying that, you know, I have an opportunity in about 5 weeks to request support from the church in Oregon. And I'm meeting multiple ministry partners on the trip by today. And I'm just being reminded that Chelsea and I are going to have to get back into the fundraising, and it's something that we don't really enjoy all that much.
Sure.
And so we want to trust the Lord to be sure that he's given us vision to bring the gospel to the nations in our own this particular way. And we just need to trust the Lord, but also we need to get the word to find this in too. So
yeah.
Anyway, it's just a need for prayer for God to continue to expand our borders, to grow the ministry, but also that we would be content in all.
Good one. All right. Oh, sorry, Zach. Yes.
I put this on the PDF last week.
Absolutely. Okay. You could also pray for our sound situations, the direction of our church, just a lot of things right now that, I mean, exciting, wonderful things, but also times of like transition or figuring things out and things like that. So Mr. Mark requested that I restate all the prayer requests. They're also shared on screen. I'm sorry. Ms. Claire also has one. Yep. Jack. Okay. All right. Yes. Nope. Keep going. It's great.
And a pine tree did the thing where it takes down the roof and the wall and fell over. And so, you know, he's kind of shaken up by that. He's out there, he's got good friends out there trying to help him. And just pray that it would continue to find the joy of the Lord. This would have an impact on the soul who doesn't know the Lord, and that it would, you know, he would see the gravity probably able to deal with it as the Lord's there. Just do my prayer. He lost some things, but again, he was limping, and, but it's more for his soul.
Can you pray for him?
All right. So I'll read through these real quick, and then I will also, I think the last time I said I would do it, and I totally forgot, but I will shoot these out via GBF chat later today too, just so you can keep them in mind when you're praying throughout the week. So Dustin's dad took damage at his house and started praying during the storm. He has not been, says he's a believer, but doesn't really show any evidence of that. And so prayer for him to be saved through this process. And hasn't even been to church in 10 years. Is that right? His grandmother also sent a text saying that there are some protests that are ratcheting up again around Lafayette. And part of that is along Dustin's path. So not only Dustin's path to work and everything, but also the safety and that the Lord would reign there, even in the chaos that some people have intended. The Gatches need quite a few supplies after the storm. There was an email or a few emails sent out via GBF chat looking for some specific electrical supplies, but that they would find those. Also, both John and Mr. Mark also mentioned James. Just prayer that the Lord would save him after witnessing all that the storm has done. He lost quite a bit of stuff in his apartment, even his old apartment, it sounds like, due to a tree falling into it. Mr. Tim and Miss Claudia lost power, but it was restored, and also lost a phone, but thankful it wasn't worse, it sounds like. Miss Joanne, sister-in-law, is in a nursing home and has had zero physical contact since the beginning of all of this COVID stuff. And so it was very, very meaningful to her to have that, but also just that the Lord would encourage her and give her obviously more opportunities to have that as well. Jason Brewer is traveling back to Florida today with his family, but he's being deployed. He just got word and his wife is expecting, but he will probably be gone. So praying for a delay, just in his testimony and ministry with his family, that would be his deployment would be delayed. Zoe has some exciting opportunities now going forward. Prayer for those as they have an opportunity to go back out and minister. Also, as they enter another season of fundraising, that they would just be encouraged and strengthened by what probably all of us can attest to is probably not the most fun activity, seeking out money and funding. But also, as he put it really eloquently, prayer for contentment in all things. Zach's boss, Sarah, who he emailed about via GBF chat, might be short on finances due to some difficulty in living situations. And so just prayer for provisions there and also any way that the church might be able to minister and care for them as well. Miss Claire's offered a prayer for Mr. Jack and also prayer for our country as well. So very diverse from the wide for a whole country on the earth. To individual people and situations, to praises about how we came through the storm. So with that, just ask Mr. Rich, would you be willing to pray for us today? Thank you.
Heavenly Father, you know none of us is capable in and of ourselves to bring. We don't know how to pray to God, Lord. Now is such a time that, dear God, we start off with desiring to honor you through confessing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, the great Savior, for whom we are eternally and will be eternally grateful and thankful and honoring and praising the great work and dying for sinners. Totally accomplishing what we had absolutely no ability in and of ourselves to do, nor desire, nor energy. Dear God, but you, gracious God, and so kind to your people, you have received his sacrifice on our behalf, a sacrifice that put away, took care of, washed away our sins. I thank you for your spirit to give us to think on him, your son, the Lord Jesus, who came to witness of him, not of himself. Empower us to comfort us, to aid us, to help us, to always be pointing us to Jesus Christ in our life. And God, thank you that you save sinners and our families. Dear God, we do pray for continual salvation. Prayer for ask for continual grace for our family members, for our children, parents, brothers, sisters, wherever they might be, whether they've heard, whether they haven't, give us grace in these times, dear God, and wisdom to double down, dear God, on our praying for them. Double down on, dear God, just gives a heart for their salvation, that we might have action to communicate to them the great need they have to come to know the Lord Jesus for salvation. Dear God, many, many blessings, God, many, you spared us here, dear God. You spared us here in Baton Rouge. We're thankful. God, we feel for those in the Charles area, dear God. I pray that you help us, give us wisdom, grace, compassion, to know whether you want us to do anything in particular relationship to what's going on. Support of money, of time, efforts, labors, food. But dear God, that the gospel might be heard and preached and understood, that you may have awakened many folks, dear God, to great need of Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, let those organizations that have the gospel go boldly and faithfully to help spiritually and physically from a comforting wise to do that. Lord, Lafayette is wicked, an abomination called Black Lives Matter. Dear God, that you hate, that your wrath and fury will be eternally poured out on those who are propagating this wretched wickedness of communism and violence and hatred. Dear God, I pray for them. I pray for the leaders. I pray for those involved, both willingly and knowingly and ignorantly, dear God, that you would send your spirit among them, awaken them to their need, salvation in Jesus Christ. Cause them, dear God, to become smack dab, dear God, in contact with you. You might put on their hearts that they're under your ground. And hate what they're doing, dear God, that while they're under your wrath, your hatred is upon them, your condemnation. Cause them to see the Lord Jesus, the great, wonderful Savior, saves the worst and the best of the worst. Dear God, I do pray for wisdom for us to know how to deal in these situations. My friends in that gift, I pray that have great mercy on them. In light of this name, in light of thank you, you spare us here in Baton Rouge. Give us great warning. Dear God, pray for the Gatches, dear God, provide with them. Thank you for Tim and the fact that there was no significant damage where he is. God, pray you meet their needs, call you, help, and continue to protect and help her. We pray for our dear brother Jack and whatever needs there might be there, dear God. I thank you for Jack and this great example and witness he's been for me over these many years. I pray for his health and his strength. We give him wisdom as he seeks to honor you and glorify you and preach you. Dear God, Jason Brewer, dear God, you know the need there. We pray for that situation. We don't know. Basically, dear God, he's a pawn and property of the government. And dear God, we just pray that you so providentially work it out that he can keep his wife. For dad there. Or many other requests. I think of Mike and Bonnie's son, who was killed recently. Dear God, I pray you strengthen him, encourage him. Dear God, give the doctors wisdom for whatever law is involved there. Dear God, for Lauren and Trent, she would honor you, dear God, and be having a heart for these people and this work that she did. Dear God, I pray that that would receive and communicate as the heart of Jesus Christ for those who are, Lord, who are perhaps downcast, particularly more needy than we are ourselves. Okay, that just be work of mercy there. And God, we need your word here this morning. We need to hear from you, dear God. We need to hear your words of comfort. We need to hear your words of exhortation. We need to hear your words of love and kindness and goodness. Dear God, we need to hear the words of salvation and grace so freely bestowed upon sinners who call on you. Dear God, we need to hear your words. You're a great God who receives those who are heavy laden and burdened with sin, cares, with relationships, with, dear God, with addictions and, you know, wicked patterns of sin. Dear God, you receive sinners to yourself. You grant grace and you grant mercy. Pray you grant repentance and faith where required. Dear God, repentance and faith will be helpful. Dear God, we need to hear your word this morning that we might be bold, strengthened, and encouraged to pursue you and to, Lord, walk and continue in this walk of faith, dear God, this fight against the flesh. And, dear God, the enemy's deceptions, potentially even overwhelm us, Lord, unless you give us that grace to believe your word. Dear God, let us develop habits and patterns in our lives of being in your word, being in prayer, being in fellowship, hearing the word preached, and even preaching the word ourselves to our loved ones and those we work with. Lord, many unspoken here, many unremembered by myself, dear God, pray, dear you. You know. We do pray generally that we should all be honored and glory. That your people would be encouraged. That sinners would be saved. That the rebellious would be turned to you. That those who are in darkness may see a great light, the light of Jesus Christ. Help us to see him as our sanctification, as our wisdom, and as our righteousness at all times. We pray.
Amen. Thank you. Take a few minutes and Mr. Mark will be up here. Okay. I need a plug-in power, but we can do that. Okay.